This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And welcome into Judd's Hockey Show. The Wild might be done, but Judd's Hockey Show is a long way from being done because, damn it, the playoffs are ongoing. There's still hockey being played by teams that are committed to the springtime. It's Judd. It's Jesse Pierce, of course, from Far Down Beauties fame and also Score North, and Declan Goff, who is co-host executive producer as well. All right, you guys. So I've been giving this some thought and watching the playoffs, and the second round's been weird because there's been a ton of blowouts. It seems like it has not been nearly as captivating as the first round. But you know what frustrates me the most right now, Jesse, is this: the Seattle Kraken. Because I watch the Seattle Kraken play and I think, why not the Wild? Like, why can't this be the Wild? They're not exceptional. They're okay. They're well coached, but in the regular season, the Wild was too. They're a gritty team. But you know what? The Wild was too. I think the Kraken are the poster child for my frustration of the Wild since 2015 not being at least in, and this is a pretty small ask, I think, at least in the second round.
I don't blame you. I think Seattle is, it's very funny, right? Like, this regular season, Seattle came out of nowhere with different pieces. I think the difference is, and I'm not trying to say to your point, Judd, that this is what the Wild did, but I spoke with some Seattle people and they're like, the players just really bought in this year. They really went all in on board. They wanted to be a part of Seattle. Now, again, that's not me slighting the Wild, saying that guys didn't buy in, but I think there's that different mentality. I mean, Seattle, again, bottom of the barrel last year, and for them to be able to do what they were able to do again, make some moves, go sign some names, but still they don't have these superstar. I mean, Matty Beniers, sure, absolutely phenomenal, but they're composed of a lot of different pieces, much like the Minnesota Wild, where it's kind of plugging them in the right way. And again, coaching, I think, is a difference. Philip Grubauer is playing fantastic. They have been, it's just, they're so peculiar to me. I can't figure them out. I can't figure out why them and not the Minnesota Wild, you guys.
Yeah, 13 different players with double-digit goals for the Seattle Kraken this year. And to be honest, I don't think I could have named five Seattle Kraken players if Judd put me on the spot as of 2 minutes ago. They, to Jess's point, they've kind of bought in. I mean, Dave Haxtell has a system. I remember him at North Dakota a lot when I was at St. Cloud. And on top of not just being a very frightening man to look at, because he doesn't really blink and he looks through your soul, he's a really good hockey coach. He knows what he's doing with this kind of young Seattle Kraken team that's hodgepodge from an expansion draft and being obviously really bad last year. And, you know, Grubauer, got paid by them after he left Colorado. But I mean, yeah, I think that's the frustrating part. You can see why other teams have been able to get through, especially in the East, and are in the positions they're in. But then you see a team like Seattle, who certainly isn't flashy, doesn't have any of the superstar players that we mentioned. But here they are, you know, two games away from being in the Western Conference Finals.
And of all the teams left, they just strike me as the one where I watch them play and I watch their approach and I think, oh, okay, yeah, that's doable. Like, the Oilers, I sort of get, are a different breed, right? Like, when you've got McDavid and Draisaitl, who can be paired at the drop of a hat. That's right, Dean Evason. Some people will pair guys and then split them up and then pair them again. But when you watch those guys play, it's like, okay, they're phenomenal. But Seattle's get it. There's nothing Seattle is doing, in my opinion, that's like, you can't, you know, the Wild couldn't. Okay? Grubauer, who's had like a bad or not great 2 years, has been great. So they're definitely getting the goaltending. You know, just to your point up front, they're not dynamic, but to Declan's point, they get, you know, diversified scoring. And so that's just the one where I keep going back, because it always feels like there's a certain part of the Wild defenders or fan base that are like, well, you know, they got goalied, right? They got goalied by Ottinger, or they did this or did that. And it's like, it can't always be an excuse, mm-hmm. You know. Maybe you get eliminated in the first round for a year or two. You got some excuses. But I think we're to the point now where you look at these other teams that are playing and say, okay, why are they still playing? Are they doing something like dynamically special that the Wild couldn't do? And I'll go back to this. This Wild team, in my opinion, was built 100% to make a playoff run. Mm-hmm. Like this was not a the highly skilled team. And oh my God, if you can't score, you're done. That was last year. This was a team that Bill Guerin like went and got the pieces and put them together for a playoff run, grind it out. Doesn't have to be dynamic, but it has to be effective. And you know, they fell short. And I think that internally, despite all the stuff that Bill said at his press conference to end the season, I think internally, Jesse, they got to be going through these same questions and saying, where do we end up short? And like with two very different teams in the past 2 years, like what is that step now to finally get past the first round?
Well, and I think what Seattle's proving is that Dallas is beatable. Jake Oettinger is human, right? I mean, that's the thing that frustrated me throughout that entire series is Dallas is good. This is not to slight Dallas, but they weren't the hardest opponent that Minnesota could have faced. They didn't choose their shots correctly. Goal blocker side on Jake Oettinger. Quit with these low shots. Go up high over his shoulder. You'll score on him. That's not a problem. But yeah, I mean, there's obviously got to be kind of a look back at the past 2 years, not even just this past year, because 2 years now in a row, Bill Guerin has, as you said, Judd, given Dean Evason those pieces and has tried to do different things in two very different ways, right? We saw the very dynamic scoring also get a first round exit. And then you see the grit first get a first round exit. So it's trying to figure out what that looks like. And unfortunately, again, you're handcuffed for sure for the next 2 years. So you're going to have to rely on these young guys, which is a huge opportunity. It's kind of what Seattle has had to do too. They've had to rely. Matty Beniers is 19 years old. It's very rare for a young guy to come in and make the impact as he has, but it's not impossible, right? And it's not, and you don't have as many young players like that that are going to be expected to carry that load for Minnesota, because you're still going to have Kirill Kaprizov. Matt Boldy's a year older. Marco Rossi's coming in with a year of the AHL under his belt. Hopefully that helps him 2 years, in fact. But it'll be interesting to see what happens in this offseason. As we've talked about, things are going to have to change. And the way the NHL is trending with this younger, faster group of guys, that means the Minnesota Wild is going to have to change its approach too.
And it's the second time, right, that an expansion team has kind of surprised us. I know Vegas did it in the first year, which was even more surprising, but it was just this hodgepodge group and no one expected them to be anything. And then all of a sudden, here they are, you know, making playoff runs and winning playoff games, upsetting teams that are a lot better than them with players that certainly aren't better than other teams from a skill standpoint, but they're still able to kind of buy in and figure out ways to win games, which, again, I think that's why it's probably really frustrating for Wild fans to see, because it's been mostly, at least, the same cast of characters, you know, with some other additions and subtractions here and there, but your defensive core has been the same for the last 8 years. You have a better top-end talent in Kirill Kaprizov and Matt Boldy. You've had consistent goaltending the last few. So there's always been these things that should work out for the Wild, and yet here they are always, you know, golfing basically by early May.
I think one thing that has become abundantly clear is you have to get, and this will probably start to take place through the natural progression of prospects, you have to get bigger on the blue line. The more I watch this league and how things operate, like, that's the one thing the Wild really didn't do. So they didn't really change that. And they've got some size there. But when you look at some of these teams and the physicality, right, and it's not that these players are great, but they're big. They're heavy players. They play a very heavy style of game. And then, you know, God bless them, you watch Spurge play. And, you know, in January, Spurge is going to tear it up. It's going to be great. But you get to the playoffs. I think the most finesse guy, at the end of the day, my goal would be this if I'm Bill Guerin, Jesse. The most finesse guy that I would want is Brodin, because I think he's marvelous. Like, I'm not going to – that guy makes plays that are great. So I'm not
His
trying –
skating is incomparable. It's just phenomenal to watch the way he moves. I mean, we saw it a couple times this season. When he has the time, he can just – the way he takes those strides and the way that he can cycle is fantastic.
But I think he is the most finesse guy I would want. Like, after that – I want tough. Dumba tried to play that way, but I still think that the injuries have short-circuited him a lot. But I just want more guys that are probably slightly more talented. But to me, the ideal body and style, Jake Middleton. Like, I love that style in the playoffs, but I want more there. And, you know, Spurge is not going to bring that. He's just not.
Mm-hmm. I think Minnesota maybe got too hung up on trying to jumpstart the offense, getting the defenseman mixed into the offensive zone. We had talked about that was John Klingberg's high point. He didn't have any high points, in my opinion, now through for the Minnesota Wild, but it certainly wasn't defense versus Alex Goligoski. He had great zone entries from time and time again when he was able to play. But yeah, I think you do. You have the goaltending back there. The defense is where it needs to step up, because I think that was also the thing that probably wasn't discussed as much. There was a spout earlier this year, you guys, that the Minnesota Wild did that very defense first, and they looked good. Matt Dumba was playing his best, and it kind of, again, much like the offense too, dissipated throughout the playoffs for whatever reason. I think they relied too much on the goaltending, which you can't do. You know, those guys can only do so much of their job. So I think the defense, the other thing, the defense is going to have to learn how to play well in front of both goaltenders. They're both very different styles, but I think that also showed some marks on the defense, as they would get confused as to how to play with the rebound control and all of that. I think that's something that you really are going to have to educate your defensemen on as they enter into camp coming up at the end of August.
And there always is times in the playoffs where just things change, how the game's played. And it seemed about 8-10 years ago, we kind of got away from bigger guys, and you saw a lot of, you know, Johnny Gaudreau's, you saw a lot of smaller guys kind of making their way up and down the ice. And now it's kind of trended back to Judd's point of physicality and having big brutes and having people that can open up spaces and makes things a lot easier. And when you're the Wild and you're a super small team, you can only really rely on Ryan Reeves or Marcus Foligno to kind of lay the wood. Well, then that kind of means your superstar players and your guys who are expected to score goals end up obviously struggling to get there. So yeah, I think they have to get bigger. And I liked the style on paper that the Wild were playing this year. I know it wasn't as flashy as last year's team, but it felt like that was a sustainable way to win playoff games. I mean, you're kind of seeing it with Seattle to a degree. You're seeing with other teams that it might not be the flashiest way, but we can win playoff games this way. This is how you win playoff series. And for whatever reason, the Wild still end up tripping on themselves.
You need a Goldilocks year this year, right? Like the first 2 years ago, it was too much offense. Now it's too bad. Like you need that just right settled in for that. That's this year, you guys.
I'm Who's been you. Taking all my pucks away? Yeah. That's exactly right. So I do have a goaltending question, Jesse. But before I get to that, I want to talk about our friends at Livia Weight Control Centers, who have helped both Jesse and yours truly take off weight. I dropped off 40 pounds more than a year ago. Now look at that. The guy on the left, a little jowly. The guy on the right, far skinnier. And that is thanks to my friends who have done a great job. And here's the thing. They're going to help you not only drop the weight, but they're going to help you maintain the weight loss. And if you join now, 3 months free plus a free gift during Livia's Client Appreciation Week, which ends on Friday. So don't delay. 855-GO-LIVEA, Livia.com, Livea.com. Jesse, your story is 20 plus pounds, correct?
Yes. Right now? Yeah. And can we get a shout out for that Bayside sweatshirt that you were wearing in that
you like it?
Trimmed one? Yes. Absolutely.
I'm an oddly big fan of a show that was on when I was like 23.
Don't blame it. No, I've been loving my Livia experience. As I mentioned, it's been easy to continue going, keeping me energized, keeping me full, and getting ready for summer. We're going to take the boat out this weekend, I think, you guys, if the rain holds off. Let's go. Boating season is here.
Oh, awesome. You talk about a segue. Go for it, Dex. Roll the video. Because you know what? We are talking about boating season, and we are talking about it's time for throttle therapy on the land and water, and it all starts at the lodge, the Power Lodge. Cruise the water in luxury on a brand new, right there, gorgeous Bennington pontoon from Power Lodge. Enjoy sunset from the water, entertain the kids, as I'm sure Jesse's going to do, and float on the lake all summer long. It all starts at the Lodge, the Twin Cities' newest Bennington dealer, the Power Lodge, with locations in Brainerd, Onamia, Ramsey, and Miller Marine of St. Cloud. PowerLodge.com, MillerMarine.com. Do what the hockey people do. Get yourself a Bennington and enjoy the sunset and the relaxation.
The brilliance there, guys. That wasn't even planned. Look at that. Just
that was good, though.
That was good, segues.
And I could see Declan's eyes. Like,
I was like, oh, my God.
We got to go for it. And then I got the script out, and it was just all. You know what that was? That's a line Dean would never break up.
Yes.
No matter how much we might start to struggle, he would never break us up because of that one great, great ad read right there. Mm-hmm. Goaltending, I got a question for you. So just to spin things to next year. So Gustafson's almost certainly back with a new contract, probably a bridge because they can't afford more than that. Fleury's back, it looks like, for a final year. What does that mean for Jesper Wallstedt, where do we think he is? Because, I mean, there's no question the ideal world, I guess, is a Gustafsson and Wallstedt world. And, you know, the Flower rides into retirement. Does he, Jesse, does he need to play here next year, in your opinion? Or are they okay with cooking him again in Iowa and allowing that thing to sort of just play out with the Flower?
I think it's okay to let him cook. And I know we're all in such a rush to get these guys up here, but Jesper is still transitioning to the North American sheet. That was kind of an issue for him. And he had mentioned it's just the way that he can laterally move and the way that his periphery is, it's very different than what he is used to on the bigger sheet over in Europe. So I think it'll be okay. He definitely struggled at the beginning of last year, finally found his feet, finally got things under a phenomenal season for Jesper. But I wouldn't hate seeing him up for a game or two, you know, injuries related, those things happen.
Right.
But I think mostly they probably want him to just do one more full year in Iowa, get really assimilated to this game before popping him up here. Now, I'm not worried about, you know, oh, he's going to get stuck down there too long. No, he'll be fine, you guys. It's a very different position. He will be fine. He will be here. It's going to be great. I will be excited about the goaltending once again, Judd.
Yeah, they're kind of building towards, hey, Marc-Andre Fleury is going to ride off to the sunset, obviously, after this season. Filip Gustavsson was more than capable of being a number one guy, and they'll obviously bring him back, which they should, but they won't probably overpay for him, and they shouldn't. Goaltending's weird. Jesper can hold it down. You can always find another guy like a Cam Talbot. Hell, like a Filip Gustavsson, like they found in a trade for the exact same player I was just talking about. So you can find backup goalies. You can find guys that kind of hold the ship until Jesper is here, I should say. He might get his cup of coffee this season. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he gets recalled, whether that's due to injury or just to see what they have in the kid. But I would assume this time next year, we're probably talking about Wallstedt being the Wild starting goalie, or at least breaking camp with the team.
What's the expectation, too, not to be a downer completely here, on potential Gus Bus regression?
I mean, it's a realistic thing, right? I think this year was such a fantastic year. He was given the opportunity. However, I think the promising thing about Gus is that he was fairly consistent, really. I mean, a lot of the goals, he's such a technically sound goalie. I always go back to that because he really is. Like, his moves are so technical, and he was given this opportunity, and he played great. I mean, he approaches, I think, the best thing for him and the biggest thing, and he addressed this, as did Bill Guerin, will be conditioning, because he's going to be playing probably a similar amount, if not more, next year. He needs to get in shape. He came into camp very out of shape, you know, and you saw
was
that.
He,
I mean,
like,
it was
fat
tiring.
Or beard up, or what
it
was the problem?
I mean, I wouldn't say fat, but he wasn't in shape. He wasn't in a starting goaltender's body shape. And I think that was something Marc-Andre Fleury, I should be one to talk about. Livia's getting us there. Livia,
no, that's
is
exactly
getting
right.
Us
yep.
There. Yep. But no, I just think that's it. Because it's hard. It's hard to move around, play that many games when you're not used to it. You have to be athletically fit. And so I think that's something he's taking very seriously and will be much better for it. So yes, maybe a slight regression, but I think I'm excited because he was so consistent throughout the season.
Dex, because you are Mr. Goaltender Regression.
Yeah. Well, Jesse brings up a good point that his style is consistent, and I think that'll help him a lot. You know, Marc-Andre Fleury is all over the dang place, and that's why his numbers have always fluctuated from being a Vezina guy to being kind of unplayable. But he was damn good last year. Now, you know, he got off to a weird start where he didn't look good at all in the first week or two of the season, and then around Thanksgiving, Christmas time, holiday time, he started playing a lot better. And, you know, I will say that the guys he was playing as good as, which were some of the best goaltenders in the NHL, I don't see that happening again. But that doesn't mean I don't think he's going to be unplayably bad. Last year, his 5-on-5 save percentage was really good. His save percentage on the power play was also really good. So you kind of look at areas that will regress. And, you know, will he be as good as he was on the power play last year, where he had a 9.17 save percentage, which is really high when the other team has a man advantage? So will that probably regress? Yes. And will that, you know, kind of turn into a ballooning GAA? For sure. But I think in general, his style, to Jesse's point, is as long as he stays in shape and just kind of plays his game, he should be a consistent, reliable goalie.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule, customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little you need. You can pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up those springtime goals. Head to factormeals.com/Judd50 and use code Judd50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Judd50 at factormeals.com.
Speaking of concerns, Jesse, is Kirill going home to Russia or staying here? Do we know? I saw that there were some comments right after the season, but it didn't look like they were very certain. Yeah. I don't think that Bill Guerin and the team probably wants to go through that. He's stuck there now. Can we get him back again? So what's the latest on that?
I mean, we directly had asked and they weren't sure. It's one of those tough situations. It's hard to tell a guy who separated from his family, separated right. from his friends, who loves his home country, regardless of what we may think. It's hard to say, no, you can't go home. You can't do this. However, I think Kirill knows his place as far as this is a job, this is a business, this is what I have to do. So it wouldn't surprise me. There are plenty of guys that are actually sticking around the summer. Matt Boldy's sticking around the summer. Kalen Addison, Marco Rossi, all those guys are staying just to get that extra help that the Minnesota Wild can provide as they get ready for next season. Now, Kirill obviously doesn't need that training help at all, but I imagine, yeah, for his safety, for convenience for the Minnesota Wild, it's probably been very heavily discussed whether he can stay. I know his girlfriend was over here for a bit of a time, so maybe that helps ease the transition. Maybe she can stay.
Okay, so she's here now?
I don't know if she's here for sure. She was here for sure visiting anyway.
Okay.
But maybe that's, you know, give him something to hang
out
with.
The Beauty League.
The Beauty League, yes.
He can go to Braemar and tear it up, on Wednesday nights?
Mondays and Wednesdays.
Monday and Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It's a great league, dude. Tear that thing up. Score 700 goals and come back for training camp.
Yeah.
Just an idea. We'll give you a place in Edina, too. Okay, very nice, girl. final talking point that I want to bring up, and I talked about this with Declan and Phil on Mackie and Judd as well, but here is my opinion. I am done with draft lotteries, and I'm not saying this because I'm upset about the Blackhawks. Connor Bedard is a generational player. I got some comments saying, Lafreniere with the Rangers ain't so great. You don't know Bedard's going to be good. No, this kid's a generational talent. He's a McDavid type. He's going to be great. And I'm not saying this because I'm bitter about this. I'm saying this because I don't think this league, basketball too, but there is so much question about, is it fixed? Did the Blackhawks fit? You know, were they, because it's going to help get them now back on national TV. If you're going to suck for 82 games, like if you're going to bite the bullet and be that bad, I don't think that it takes away from tanking. So, like, I don't think that we have seen, like, if the thing was, well, the Blackhawks are going to try real hard, the rosters are too stripped down. We'll start with Dex and then go to Jesse here. But do you subscribe to this being a good idea still? Or did the Ducks just deserve to get the pick because they had one fewer point than Chicago, I think?
I don't know how I feel about the draft lottery. Sometimes I think it's good just because, yeah, it's going to stop teams from consistently taking, and it gives other teams an opportunity to potentially get a better pick. That being said, like if I was a Ducks fan and I had to watch the Ducks be the Ducks, and I know Chicago stunk too, so it's not to say like both those teams deserved one or the other, right. I'd be pretty pissed, especially when it was a Connor Bedard draft and a guy who's probably going to be a superstar player. And of course, it's Chicago. I think right. that I think it's just more of the markets that are kind of sometimes weasel their way into getting these top lottery picks is why people think it is indeed rigged. I mean, I am personally, I know I'm the only one on this show who loves this. I'm a big professional wrestling fan. I love scripted things. I watch something that is scripted. I watch it knowing that it's scripted, and I'm still shocked at the result. And I think sometimes with these lottery things, it's a similar thing where, you know, we're trying to buy in that it's not scripted when it's like, all right, how the hell is this happening? And also, should just the worst team be allowed to get the top pick, which I do kind of subscribe to. I'm torn. I'm on the fence. I'm not on the Judd side where it just get rid of it and go back to just, you know, worst point percentage and go from there. But it is kind of interesting how it always ends up working out for the other teams that shouldn't be getting the number one pick.
And not because it was Chicago. I wanted Connor Bedard and Trevor Zegras in Anaheim. I think that would be so much fun. They have all these different people. Troy Terry, all of it. I really, really wanted that. Plus, it'd be so good for the game. I'm all about growing the game. And it's Chicago. Like, it's just like, come on. I don't even know that they should have a first round pick given circumstances surrounding their organization. Right. No, I don't. I'm kind of like Dex. I'm not here or there on it. But yeah, maybe give it to the worst team. Just don't give it to Chicago. How about that? Like, we just say, no, Chicago, you're not allowed.
Well, they could have been stripped of that pick.
They should have been.
There's like, you're not wrong about that.
Teams have lost their first round pick for far less than what happened in Chicago. So
the Coyotes lost a first round pick for what? Doing something illegal about the combine.
Unauthorized combine thing.
People don't even know about that combine. And the Blackhawks have what amounts to 100% as a scandal. Mm-hmm. And they don't lose a first round pick. But I don't think, to Dex's point, I don't think it stops tanking. Like, I don't think we're seeing any sign of, I'm going to try harder now. The Blackhawks stripped that thing down, and they really tried to finish last, and they didn't succeed, and they still get the pick. And I'm with you. You know what? Bedard playing 930 starts with the Ducks wouldn't thrill me, but you're right. You put him on that team, Jesse, and you give him, like, in that part of the country, it's going to draw a ton of people. Yeah. So you're not wrong.
I think Chicago saw a huge uptick already in their season ticket holders, all of that stuff too. I mean, so wherever he was going to go, no question, it was going to rejuvenate that fan base. But yeah, you'd think, I mean, Arizona would be the other one, right? Like, oh, put him in the desert and see. But I think Gary Bettman knows that isn't going to work.
Are they
going
to get that building that they've been trying to get? If they don't get that, they're going to have to move at some point in time. That's one of the most, that's one of the damnedest things I've ever seen. The league has bent over backwards every year trying to make that work, and they're in a college arena and they're stuck there. I mean, I don't get it. All right, Jesse, thanks much. Great stuff. When is the next Bar Down Beauties episode coming up?
Next Monday. We just had one drop this week with Kevin Gorg, and then we've got Charlie Coyle on next week to talk. He's my favorite. Just to maybe rib him a little bit about that Bruins squad of his. So should be a
funny how Ryan Donato's on Seattle now, contributing to the Kraken, and the Wild got nothing for that. All right, we're done. Judd's Hockey Show. I'm sure we're back soon, if nothing else, next week with Jesse. He's Declan. She's Jesse. I'm Judd. We'll talk to you later.